I'm going to start off by telling you a little story. I have a prop with me today, so it's going to be kind of unusual. Some of you are probably used to seeing this prop because you're in front of it all the time. So you're going to get a treat today, I think. When I was a young lad, full of hair, full of energy, able to move up and down the stairs in a single bound, I used to play a lot of ball, a lot of baseball. I would get up in the morning, and the first thing I wanted to do is go outside and play ball. Until my father told me I had to do my chores first, and he came and got me by my ear, pulled me back into the house in front of everyone, all right? You need to do your chores. By the way, chores are, in case you don't know what that is, that's a responsibility that you have as a child that your parents give you. And in my house, if you didn't do your chores, you paid the price, all right? So I played ball all the time, from the time the sun came up to the time it went down. And I had a favorite hero. Everybody has heroes and idols, and my favorite hero was Mickey Mantle. So I wanted to read up about him. I wanted to be just like Mickey Mantle. I wanted to wear the number 7. I wanted to hit the ball like he did and run like he did. He was a young man from Oklahoma. He was my favorite player. And I wanted to be just like him. I asked my dad to buy me a bat for my birthday, Mickey Mantle bat with his name on it. It had a very thick handle. All right, I can hit the ball on the handle, hit it a long way, it was so thick. I loved that bat. It went everywhere with me. I just loved that bat. I wanted to be just like him until I started reading up on him and realized that he had a problem in his life, alcoholism. He had a deep problem with alcoholism, and it took over his life. And I remember saying to myself, I don't want to do that. That's not who I want to be. See, we all have heroes. And we all have this image that we want to live up to, all right? But man's image don't measure up to what God has for us, all right? He was my hero. He was a great person, but he had a problem. You know, I thank God that in his life, he had a couple people that helped him along the way. And I didn't know this till later on, but a couple of former players on his team, Hall of Famers, Whitey Ford was a Christian. Bobby Richardson, a second baseman, was a Christian and became a pastor. And they ministered to Mickey through his life and helped him through. So I thought that was pretty neat. So what we're going to share about is mirroring Christ. That's my topic. Mirroring Christ. It's hard for me to say what all those R's. But that's what we're going to talk about. Being like Christ. What does God expect of us? So if you excuse me for a minute as I get my prop ready, I'm going to, don't think that we're not paying attention to you, but we need to do this, so I want you to see something, okay? Is it okay to be different sometimes? I'm definitely different, so. I spoke to Pastor this morning. He's doing I know you guys recognize this. I'm sure some women and nowadays some young men spend a lot of time in front of a mirror. We want to see how we look. I always ask myself this question, why do women always look behind them? Like, I mean, I believe that's still there. So I don't know why they still look behind them all the time, but they do that. I always, why do they do that, you know? Guys just go up there and straighten up their ties and make sure the hair is out. I mean, my hair is in place, all right? So, you know, we see this all the time. We see our reflection, right? How many guys are in the mirror a lot? How many of you guys spend a lot of time in the mirror? Be honest, all right? See, Julia, thank you for being honest. You know, spend a lot of time. You know, we're in the mirror. We see it all the time, right? We're looking at ourselves. We see our reflection, all right? And we see all the things that are wrong with us, all right? We see every wrinkle, all right? Everything that's not right. We start seeing old age. We start seeing gray. we start seeing nothing because there's nothing there to see, all right? So we see ourselves and all our frailties in that image. And sometimes when we look in the mirror, all right, we're seeing all of our faults at the same time. All the things that we feel we're short, you know, our shortcomings. We get disgusted. You know, I'm going to tell you something, all right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, all right? When you get older, you are going to change. No question about it. That's a given. It should be a law because that's true. You're going to change, all right? You're not going to be the same, all right? It's just not the way it is, all right? Our body starts to break down, and everything else follows, of course. If things hurt that you never knew you had, all right? That's the way it happens, all right? That's the way it is. I want to start right from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. Listen to what God says. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created. This is the part that really, really hits me. So God created mankind in his image. All right? Do you notice that God said we? It's not a misprint. All right? The Trinity. We. All right? He created us in his image. So, you know, I was thinking about that for a minute, and I said, wow, that means before sin came into the world, we were perfect. We were perfect. That's amazing. I mean, everything was where it was supposed to be, and everything moved the way it was supposed to move. Every hair was in place and perfect. We were perfection. That's what God wanted for us. Think about that. When God created man and women, they were perfect. I said, man, that's amazing. What happened? All right, what happened? Sin came into the world. Let's look at Proverbs 27:19. I want you to get this. This is so, so amazing. God gave me this word December 17th of last year. I wrote it down in my Bible, and he said, you're going to be talking about this. I said, okay. And he started giving me all kinds of ideas and the mirror, and I thought that was pretty cool. Kept me up all night because I'm thinking about this, you know, and trying to get this all together. Make sure that you guys get the picture that he's trying to paint here. 27, verse 19. As water reflects face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we see who we are. And sometimes we see what God is doing in our lives. But other times we look there and we see the person that God has created. And when we walk out of this place, we're not the same person. We don't represent God the way he should be represented. We forget who we are in Christ. We forget the image that he has shown us. All right? We forget what he has done in our lives. And we walk out here and we change the way we do things. We say, we speak differently. All right. When we're in church, we speak Christianese. We all know how to do that. You guys know what that means? All right. We all know how to say hallelujah, praise God, and love you, and have mercy, praise the Lord, and all that stuff. When we come outside and we're faced with ordeals, when things don't go the way we want to, we're not saying the same thing. Some of us do that. All right. I've done that sometimes myself. All right. And it's not what God wants. We're not representing him. All right. Water reflects. When you look at water, you ever look at water and you see a reflection, all right? It reflects who you are, all right? But the heart, what's inside there, all right, the mirror can't catch. Sometimes when there's bitterness and everything, it starts to show up in your physical body. But what's inside your heart comes out, all right? That's what God wants to change. You see, that image that we have of ourselves is going to change over time, all right? We're going to get older. Things are going to happen, all right? But God wants that heart to change for him, all right? And there's a big difference. First Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 12. Are you guys with me? No one's tired, right? All right, I think I have the freedom to be here as long as I want. No, it's not going to be that long. But I do have the freedom to speak the truth. And that's what I'm trying to do here. All right, here we go. This is what happens. You get older, you can't see as well. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. All right? We're only seeing a small part of what God's doing. I'm just a little by little. See, he changes us from day to day, from year to year. He changes us from glory to glory. He changes us. And when we see it, we only see part of what God's doing. We're not going to fully know what he has done until we see him face to face. Think about that. Oh, my gosh. You know, I sometimes think, you know, all these questions that you have that you want to ask God, and, you know, some of them are crazy things that you couldn't figure out in your life. I don't think I'm going to ask him those questions. I think I'm going to be spellbound. I'm just going to and just look at him and praise him and worship him, all right, because all my answers will be right in front of me. All right, and God wants you to see that when you look at him face to face, all right, that's what is going to happen. All those things that came in your life, all those things that happened, the things that were going on in your life, the challenges that you have, you will understand why you went through those things. This sermon is not about the wrongs that we did. You're going to see that shortly. It's not about the things that we're not doing. It's about the things God's doing all the time. All right, that's what this is about. It's about what he's doing, how he's making us into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We're being transformed from glory to glory. We're being changed. God is changing our image. He's changing some of the things that we do and some of the things that we see. He's changing us from day to day. And I'm thinking about God has done a lot of work in my life. He has done a lot of changes, and he's changed my whole mindset, changed my whole heart towards him from where I used to be. I wasn't a bad person. All right, but you know what? Even a good person in the world does not measure to a good person in God. There's a difference. All right, you can be good in the world, but not good in the Lord. There's a difference. When you serve God, he's your master. You see, unveiled, it's interesting. When I looked that up, it's about a slave talking to his master. All right, they would bow their heads and they wouldn't look him in the eye. But you know what the word says? It's that we can look him face to face. All right. Unveiled, open, your eyes see clearly, all right? You see everything God's going to have for you, all right, face to face. Isn't that amazing, all right? We don't come down, no longer do we come down when our heads bow down. We can look at him face to face as he will look to us face to face. That's amazing what God is doing. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. Paul really got this. He really understood this. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. All right, so you see, he's not only conforming you to his likeness, he's calling you. And since he's calling you, he's giving you every tool necessary to do what he has called you to do. I see, you know, when you work at a job, you need the necessary tools. Tools are probably 90% of the job, right? And the rest is what you know, right? If you don't have the proper tools, it's pretty hard to get the job done. I don't know if you ever worked on a project in your house and you needed one tool and it seemed like it took you hours to do something, but if you had that tool, all right, it would have been done like this. Pastor Tony knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? I know what I'm talking about because I love tools. I love tools. I have lots of tools. My daughter used to say, Dad, you need to buy something for yourself. You can't buy tools. So I will buy something small, and then I'll buy my tool. But, you know, you have to have, God gives us the tools. He gives us what we need to succeed because he wants us to. So he wants us to be in his image. Think about that. In his image, what was Jesus like? Loving, caring, perfect. Every word he spoke was not wasted. He did not waste his time with his words, what he said. Everything he did was for a purpose. Do our lives represent that? Do we reflect the image of God when we're out of these doors? Even inside here, do we reflect his image? Are we a true reflection of Jesus Christ? So when people see you outside these doors, do they ask, what is different about you? How come you don't do these things? Why are you so happy? How can you smile over these situations? How can you persist when you're going through troubles? I don't know about you, but last year was a very tough year for us. We lost a lot of loved ones. You know, family members, close family members, mothers and a brother, and probably 10 friends that we knew. It was a very tough year, and it was very difficult. But I would not have been able to survive to go through all that mourning without Jesus Christ, because he brought joy. See, he showed me that there's a better place, right? There's eternal life. God has eternal life for us. There's a better place. And the people that we knew the Lord, so they were going to a better place. So that brought me hope, all right? And that hope, it just made me feel so much better knowing that I knew that they were going to be in a better place than they are when they were here. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. Isn't that amazing? My loving eyes on you. Counsel us. You know, help us. Not on top of us pounding like some Christians do to other people, but loving. Just loving on us. His eyes are upon us, loving us, guiding us, helping us. His arms are stretched wide open, waiting for us to come to him. That's what God wants. That's what he wants of us, to be in his image. That's exactly what he wants. Just walk to him. Come to him. Now, those are some of the scriptures that the Lord gave me for this message, but there is some things that he also put on my heart. Some things that God says we are, all right? When we look at ourselves, we said, you know, I'm a failure. You might say you're a failure. He said, I didn't do what God has called me to do. And when we looked at ourselves as a failure, that's not how God looks at us. See, he knows what's going to happen down the road. He sees us already there. He sees us already there. Anybody seen the movie with the astronauts? What is that called? Hidden Figures, all right? There was a comment in that movie. You got to see it. It's very good. There was a comment in the movie where Kevin Costner says to one of the ladies, I already am there on the moon. I'm already there, all right? Well, God says, you know, I already know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen down the road. If you follow my instructions, I know what's going to happen down the road. I know what's going to happen to you, all right? Think about that, all right? He knows, all right? So I'm going to tell you some things share some scriptures with you. And John 1, 12, 13 says, we're not orphaned, but a child of God. This is what God's saying when we look at ourselves. John 6, 37, 40 says, we're not lost, but we have eternal life. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, we're no longer condemned, but we're redeemed. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that amazing? Because, you know, if God wanted to, he can find many things wrong with us, right? But he doesn't do that. He says, we're redeemed. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, we're not separated, but loved. All right, you can't go far away from his love. You're not separated from his love. You're there. John 10, 27, 30 says, not removed, but in his hands. Wow, in his hands. In his hands. I like to be in his hands. Galatians 4, 7 says, no longer slaves, but heirs. Heirs to what? Eternal life, his kingdom. What he has, you have. Think about that. That should give you something to shout about. You guys awake, shout. You're heirs, all right? You're not a slave anymore to sin and to the world, all right? You have an inheritance that God has promised you, all right? Think about that. I love thinking about that. I'm a king's kid, man. I tell you, sometimes I tell people, they ask me, so who are you? I said, I'm the king's kid. Man, I'm royalty. I'm a royal priesthood. My father is a king. He owns everything. He created the heavens and the earth, right? And I got a piece of that, all right? Because I'm his heir, all right? I'm his heir. I said, I'm no longer, part of the world here. I don't need all this other stuff. Material stuff means nothing to me. God's given me everything I need to survive. Whether I have a job or don't have a job, whether I can walk or can't walk, all right, God has provided for me already. He has predestined everything that's going to happen to me, all right? So when I think about all those things that go wrong, I said, wait a minute. What do you mean I don't have this? God says, I'm inheriting all this stuff here. I'm going to be rich, but rich in a different way. Rich in his spirit, rich in his love, rich in his grace. That's what God gives us, his grace. It's only by grace, right? It's only by grace. That makes me super excited. There's a song that when God gave me this message, I write it. It always happens in worship. I don't know why, but he gives me a message. I write it down. I write the dates, right? And then he says, you're going to be talking about this. I said, okay. And so he starts giving me ideas, and some of them are really crazy, and it says, are you sure? And he's, yeah, all right, that's what I want you to talk about. Okay, you want me to bring the mirror up here too? And he said, yeah. I said, no, I'm taller than this mirror. I had to bend down. Said, but anyways, God is good. God is so good, and he confirms everything that he does. And I love music. I love to listen to music. Music speaks to my heart, and it calms me down. Sometimes when I'm having a tough day at work, I'll start singing worship music. I start praising God, and I bring joy back into my life and put focus where it should be, all right? So I wanted a song
about his image
that really spoke and what God sees in us. And not looking at all of our faults, all the things wrong with us, all the wrinkles, all the freckles, all the gray hair, all the no hair, all the things that go wrong in our life, everything. Seeing that, but God's saying something different to me, all right? And I needed something that really explained that. This song is by Matthew West. When I heard it, I almost jumped through the car window. I couldn't believe it because it's everything that I wanted to say. And it speaks so loudly about what God wants to us. I want you to listen to this song. And listen, when you listen to this song, and if you feel God is moving on your heart to come up to the altar and pray and let the Holy Spirit fill you with what God expects of you, with God's image, with his likeness, with his love, his grace, all right, you come up here, all right? You just come up here and just stand and kneel before the Lord and let God fill you. Let the Holy Spirit does what he wants to do in your life, all right? It's not anybody's power here. It's God's power speaking to you. So if you hear that and you feel comfortable, and I'm not asking that you have to, but if God is speaking to you, please do it because he's going to release you of some things. See, we always look at ourselves and think that we're not good enough, and we forget what God said. He said he called you his child, that you have a purpose. We forget who we are in God, and we forget who God is. You think that if God is for us, who's going to be against us? You think anybody's going to mess with us when God is for us? All right? Man, he's going to put angels around us. He's going to protect us. You think that when we're struggling with health issues, when things are going wrong in our body and we don't know what to do, you think God doesn't know that? You think that he doesn't see that? You don't think that he has healing for you? Guess what? We have the same healing. We have the same power. Guess what? We can do the same thing. We can move mountains. That's what the word says. All right? We can do all those things in his name because that we're in his image. All right? We're created in his image. All right? And when we do those things, we have power that we didn't know we ever had that comes from above. He'll put us in situations, and he'll take us out of situations. He'll use us to bless people. He'll use us to show people his love. the example, so that when we walk out of this place, all right, our likeness will shine Jesus. Our reflection will be that of Jesus Christ, all right? They will see the love, the grace, and the power, and just how he holds us in his hands. So listen to the song by Matthew West. It's called Mended.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. Tear-stained eyes, I know you might not see it now, so lift your eyes to me. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something. I paid, and there's nothing you could ever do to lose what grace has won. So hold on, it's not the end. No, this is where love's work begins. I'm making all things new, and I will make a miracle of you.
Time listening to the song without tears shedding in my eyes, because I know what God is saying to me, and I know what he has for me. And this song was just so powerful and ministered to my heart, and every time I hear it I cry, and I cry because God loved me so much. And he loved you so much. From the east to the west. Think about that. Picture this. From the east to the west. That's how much he loved you. He died on the cross for us. fair, so that we may have eternal life, not damnation. I mean, he was the bridge. He was the bridge that allowed us to cross into that. Right? Without him, none of this would be possible. There's a scripture in James that I want to leave you with. James 1, verses 23. You don't need to leave the altar if you don't want to. You can stay there all the time you want. And this is a warning, and it's a good warning. Listen to what James says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So what does that mean to us? What does that mean? When we leave this place, we no longer see our faults. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have faults, because we do. And I'm not saying that if you need, you know, one pastor used to tell me, he goes, if a house needs painting, you need to paint it, all right? Right? So if you need to put on stuff, that's okay. That's all right. God made that too. He made that available. But when you leave here, we don't see our faults. We see what he sees in us. We see what he has given us the opportunity to have freely, not forced on us, but grace, a price that's been paid already for us. Think about it. He died for each and every one of you and myself. He gave his life so that we can have that hope, that eternal life. So when we walk out this door, we don't want to walk out in despair. We have problems. Every one of us has some kind of a problem, some kind of an ailment. We have issues, all right, all the time. But let's walk out of here, and let's look like God is doing something in our hearts. And know for sure, know in the depth of your heart and your spirit that God is changing us from day to day, from month to month, from year to year, until that time when we see him face to face. Right. He's making a change in our lives. Our image is not an image of a failure. Our image is not an image of someone that doesn't know what they're doing. We have a purpose. We have a direction. We have a vision because God has given us one. He has called each and every one of us to be ambassadors of his word. Every one of us. If you're a Christian, you're an ambassador. Guess what? The president doesn't have to name you. You already are. Right? All right. God has given you a mission. All right, and that mission is to spread the word of the Lord, spread his joy, all right? And you do that in love, all right? You're going to meet all kinds of people in your life. And you're going to meet people that know the Lord and don't know the Lord. They need to know the difference. They need to know God's love versus the way man wants to do things. They need to know God's grace versus the world's grace, the way the world wants to do it. It says, pay me, you pay me now or you pay me later. You know, said God said, I paid you already. I paid the full price, all right, so that we can all have that opportunity. When you leave this place, leave with a smile. Think about those words, all right? Not longer wounded, but mended, all right? And did that song speak to you? I mean, that song like just tears my heart apart. It's just like, it's so amazing what God is doing and how he uses Matthew West. And Matthew West has unbelievable lyrics in his songs. His songs are so true and so practical and real, all right, that they just go right through you. You feel like you're right there, understanding what that young lady was going through, all right? If you're going through a problem and you don't know, have the answer, he does. If you have frailties in your life, if you have concerns in your life, and you don't have a way to fix those things, he does, all right? God has every answer. And he'll give us the answer in due time, all right? And when we understand that, when we have the faith to walk in what God is doing. James is talking about just don't look at these things and, oh, that was nice. I'm going to walk out. I really like that song. As soon as you walk out this door, all of a sudden it changes, okay? Don't let that happen to you, all right? Make sure that the Word of God, the Spirit that was speaking to your hearts here, I wanted the Spirit to talk to you guys. I didn't want to interfere with what God was doing personally in your life, because that's the Holy Spirit's job, all right? And God said to me, He's going to be talking. He's doing some surgeries here. There might be some healings coming from this. I don't know. God's in control. Whatever He wants to do, He's going to do. But I know one thing. I'm not the same person I was before I came to church, all right? Because His Word is in me, and I want everyone to know what God is doing in my life. I was asked yesterday at work, one of the young guys at work asked me, he says, where's your Corvette? I'm thinking, Corvette? I said, I don't have a Corvette. He goes, don't you have a Corvette? I said, that's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. It's impractical. I can barely fit in one. How am I going to get out of it, you know? He says, well, don't you want a Corvette? You need some happiness in your life. And you know what I told him? This is what the Lord told me. He says, I have happiness in my life. I said, I have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my joy comes from. I said, He has blessed me every single day. I said, listen, my joy doesn't come from cars, Corvettes, or material things. My joy comes in the things that the Lord has blessed me with. He has given me a beautiful family. I have three beautiful kids. I have a beautiful wife that I've been married to in a couple of months for 41 years. What more can I ask for? That's what I told him. All right, and he looked at me, he goes, wow, I just asked if you want, where's your Corvette? So, let the joy of the Lord be in your heart. Let God flow in your spirit. Let Him work in your life. Start becoming what He has said you already are. You know, start doing what He said you're going to do. All right? He said you're in His image. Think about that. I want you to go home and think about that, because in His image, oh my gosh, you have power. You have everything you need right before you. Start doing those things. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful, Lord God, that You care so much about us, Lord God, that every detail of our life You know about, Lord God. You have given us all the tools that we need to succeed in this world and to bring other people closer to You, Father. Give us the strength, Father, the grace, the mercy, Lord God, to do what You have called us to do. Help us with our faith, Lord God. Make us stronger as You work in our lives day to day. So when we look in the mirror, Father, we see ourselves, but we see what You're doing in our hearts. We see what You're doing in our lives. We see what You're doing in our families, in our friends, Lord God. Father, make that possible. Help us to understand, Lord God, that You are there with us at all times, Father, that You loved us so much, that You gave Your life for each and every one of us, Father. Father, give us the joy that is unspeakable and full of mercy. Give us that joy, Lord God. Help us to smile, even in times, Lord God, when they're tough, Lord God. Give us the strength to do what You have called us to do, Father. And Father, we hear what You said, Lord God. We're no longer wounded, but mended. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way.